You know you belong together, little big pod forever. You're talking on air. Nathan has weird hair. From the very first moment I heard you, I never felt such emotion. From talking on air, I said no, you are there. So hold me in your arms and let me go. I wanna stay forever, closer each day. Graham Monet.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh God. I'll take the mask off now.
Yeah,
it's a very visual joke that I'm doing with my black mask, black hood, black cap, and black headphones, which only Andrew from News on Fully Charged. But as we know him here, Andrew Louth, as a former guest on Graham and Nathan's Little Big Podcast, I said I was going to run in here and just do a quick episode. But Andrew said, sure, I'll come in.
I'll come in, I'll follow you in.
Don't feel all lonely, because last week I did Standalone and I ranted about how sick I was after the second vaccine, to which a few people did message. One, Sean Marum, said, oh, thanks, you got me feeling scared now for my second vaccine. And
there you go, Graham, now putting the fear into everyone.
Yeah, also Shane, who's been on the podcast, said he doesn't want to get a second vaccine. No, get your vaccines. I'm very pro-vaccine. And actually,
he's very pro-vaccine, but also very precious, so don't mind him.
Well, this is the thing. We were talking about this morning, where last week was one of the worst days of my life. I was vomiting before the show.
I didn't know that much.
I didn't tell you and Callum that, because I didn't want to worry you. I also didn't want to be... I didn't want to have more slagging. Describe. You were there. You witnessed it. Yeah. How so bad was I?
I've actually not seen you so sick. I think, in work anyway.
I think you knew I was sick when you were saying stuff and I wasn't trying to rip the piss out of you. Yeah, so, and when you ripped the piss out of me, I didn't come back with a comeback.
I think what really got me though was when, just put into context, so when we'll play a traffic bulletin before news, Graham will introduce me then. And before, while we were still in ads, Graham has his head in his hands. He does not want to be here whatsoever. He's despising life. And then as soon as he needs to put his mic up and talk, he springs to life for a jolt of about 10 seconds. It's like he's after taking a shot of Red Bull or something.
I was going to go a line of cocaine.
Oh yeah, well, you can say a line of cocaine if you want. He's taken something anyway that's given him a burst of energy, and then once he puts his own microphone back down, his head's back in his hands.
But you then just started laughing during the traffic. Because he was looking at me.
That's because you were in such a sorry state.
No, yeah, I went in to get a vomit before the show and I had my porridge. But Callum was already angry with me for coming in. So I was like, if he knows I'm after getting sick, he'll get even more angry. But my theory of, I was awake anyway, my theory was, if I lie in bed here feeling sorry for myself, it's going to prolong it. If I can get up and do something, surely it will make me feel better.
And how did that work out for you?
I actually think by 9 o'clock I was coming around.
Okay.
A little bit.
See, I didn't actually get a bad whack off the second dose.
Yeah, so you didn't.
So this is
balanced argument or conversation. I remember you were a little bit tired the next day.
I was shattered the next day. That was about it. But, and I had a little bit of a headache, and I remember that night, actually, I felt a little bit warm, but that was it. Like, I didn't have anything anywhere near as bad as what you had.
And Callum came in, he had his yesterday, he had his on Tuesday, today is now Wednesday, and he is absolutely perfect.
He could still get a whack, though.
Do you think?
He could, yeah. Because I think I remember they were saying, like, they could, you could get side effects or whatever it is off up to 48 hours afterwards.
I met up with Nathan yesterday, we had to shoot something, and...
Oh, Jesus, Nathan working on his day off.
In his day off.
Barely works on his days on.
You like that? So he did. So I met him and he was asking, how did you get on? And I go, very badly. Which actually, he gives me stick for not listening to these episodes. I described exactly what happened in last week's episode.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Actually.
And he was asking me, how did I get on with the vaccine?
And what was his excuse? Did you say it to him?
Nah, I didn't. I didn't want to start attacking him. I was only after seeing him.
Well, do you know what? He's probably not going to listen to this one either.
I'm very disappointed he didn't listen to the last one.
But do you know what? Now you can actually bring this up with him next week.
Yeah.
When he's back.
I'm very disappointed he didn't listen, because I put so much effort in. And you could see from the title that it was the ramblings of a mailman. So yeah. You knew it was my ramblings, even though I said I was only going to do a best of.
Did you put Papa Roach at the end of the note?
I put everything at the end. I did my bloody best. So, or maybe he just didn't, because I didn't put it up anywhere. Maybe he didn't read it. He just ignored it.
No, okay.
If he's not
no, you definitely put it up on Instagram.
I didn't.
Did you not?
No.
I was sure I got an... Oh, I must have got a notification.
You're probably subscribed.
I am. Yes, I am.
So anyway, I was saying it to him yesterday and...
surely he's subscribed.
I'm not subscribed. Because I unsubscribed. It was taking up so much room because I was subscribed to loads. And then I realised...
Oh, yeah.
It was taking up so much room because I... And then I went to delete them and I said, do you know what? I'm not a person who has to subscribe to listen.
That's true.
I will just listen. I know... Not to this one. That's mean. I actually listened to a couple of weeks. To the ones I listened to is kind of a... Have you listened to... Sorry, back to Nathan and I'll ask a question. I told him how bad I was, and just knowing how Nathan is, no, even if... He said he'll be fine, he'll be in work, because he's getting his on Sunday morning.
Oh.
And he's back in work on Monday. So...
Yeah, he's,
you know,
not,
well,
he's
now,
not coming in.
You know well in his head, he's already decided, oh, I'm sick. Shit. Even though he said, no, I'll be in. I go, okay, we'll see. Have you listened to The Witness?
No, actually.
Oh, because this podcast just turns into talking about other people's podcasts. But this is a kind of a docu-series.
Hello, Lucinda from Love Island. Really?
Really? The Witness. Are you aware of what it's about?
I've heard of it, but I'm not. I don't really know what it's about.
It's about a guy, real life, in Dublin, happening. It was released a couple of months ago. It's like real time happening. He's the youngest person to go into witness protection after he testified against drug dealers.
Oh, yes.
And it's about how he ended up getting into it at such a young age, how he was basically groomed, abused.
Is Nicola Tallant involved in this?
Yeah.
Yes.
So
yes.
He went to her when he, during his witness protection stage, because he was just lost and he needed her to give him a bit of publicity to get help from the state.
Yeah.
So they kind of abandoned him. And she did, and then I think she wrote his book, which is called
yes,
The Witness.
Yeah, that's where I've heard it, yeah.
Last year. and then some other guy is doing it, but you hear Nicola Tallon in the background. So she kind of pops in every now and again, so
yeah.
I think she's kind of a producer role of it as well. It is fantastic. I listened to it about three sittings. Claire listened to it as well. She absolutely loved it. You would love it, Andrew.
It sounds like something I need. I'm only really listening to podcasts when I'm in the car now. If I'm doing long trip back to Kilkenny or whatever it may be. So I would always have kind of like a bank of podcasts to get me through the car journeys.
You're in a kind of an unlucky situation because obviously you start at the same time as us. We're in at six. So yeah, you obviously driving. But I'd say you'd love to walk home.
I would, yeah.
Like
if I didn't have to... See, I always bring my car in because...
You have to because it's so early.
Yeah. And well... I probably could get it. I probably could walk in or I could find another way in. But
you could get the Lewis, but you'd have to leave so much earlier.
Yeah, but at the same time, I would like the idea of walking home. But sometimes I do need my car as well in the afternoon or for the late morning afternoons.
When you finish doing news at what, 11?
My last bulletin's at 10.
At 10. And then you go off and do something different.
I go off and do reports. So I would do a report basically for the wider newsroom. That we have here in the building.
What's today's report?
So I'm actually doing today's on the... There's a meeting between the live entertainment sector and Catherine Martin, the arts minister.
Ooh.
So that's not until 2 o'clock. So my report has to be in for 1 o'clock, for the 1 o'clock bulletin.
And what are you doing? So who you... Because I've been hearing... Because you sit across from us, so I've been hearing you tapping people up, trying to get them on, reassuring them that nothing they don't want to use will be put in. Who are you chasing up today?
So what I'm doing... I'm kind of taking a different approach to it because everyone's... I think everyone has heard from like the event promoters, the Music and Entertainment Association. And look, these people are very important spokespeople and lobbyists for the sector. They're very important. But I kind of want to try and tap into... more of a human element, so the people that this is actually impacting, and sorry, that's an awful phrase, but people who you wouldn't think it is impacting. So I have lined up an interview with a young musician, Tyge Williams is his name, and he, just before the pandemic, he was kind of transitioning from performing in like pubs and at weddings or whatever the case may be to releasing his own stuff and trying to get support act roles at venues like Whelan's or the Set Theatre in Kilkenny or Roisin Dubh in Galway or whatever. So that's kind of where he was trying to break into that next level of getting himself out there, getting his music recognised, and then the pandemic hit. So he has just been, he's basically been fucked.
Is he taking a step backwards now?
Not,
does he have to kind of start over again, or will people remember? Because he was on the cusp of that.
This is it. I think he did get a couple of support acts in before, support gigs in before the pandemic. So he is very much on the radar, especially around where he's from. He's from Waterford, so he would pretty much be on the local radar there.
Yeah.
So basically, I met with him a few months ago. I was doing a report for the Hard Shoulder on News Talk on the impact of the restrictions on live performers in like pubs and small venues. So looking away from the big concerts and the big festivals, and the fact that this doesn't just impact big musicians and all the tech ops and all the sound ops at all these big events. And obviously, look, it's not to try and dismiss them or anything like that, but it's kind of to dive a little bit deeper into it and to find out that there is a lot more people involved here than you would think. You know, I think the perception of some, not a lot, but some, is that, you know, these artists make a lot of money, they'll be grand kind of thing. But there are a lot of artists, and it's not even just the artists, it's about those who are working in the background, people who are trying to organise these gigs, people who are trying to set them up technically, the lights, the sound, everything. And I think a lot of people forget about them, and it's not just about the musicians, but it's about all of them as well. So that's basically what I was trying to do there. Well, and
I've got a good place for you.
Go on.
Session Hire.
Session Hire.
Yeah.
Where's that?
It is right beside Google in Grand Canal.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yes, I do know it. I do know it,
so they are the people who, if we need decks or we need amps and speakers, they're the ones that would kit out all the festivals.
Yeah.
That'd be good. Does anyone talk to Session Hire?
No, I don't think so, actually. It's not a bad one.
There you go. And there's also a place in Ranelagh, as they don't want to speak, beside the Lewis. I don't know what they're called.
I don't know that one now at all.
It's right beside the bridge, the Lewis Bridge in Ranelagh. That can be a good one now.
Yeah. Sure. Look, it's always handy to flesh things out. You never know what you come
flesh
up with.
Flesh it out.
I'm going to be talking to Ty today, just kind of catch up with him, see how he's feeling. Because the last time I spoke to him was the beginning of June.
Yeah.
And he was kind of hopeful of, hopefully we'll be back to normal. So, like, I think they expected there'd be a bit more pace about reopening live music and entertainment, and there hasn't been.
But what's happened? I've been seeing a few things like Kaleidoscope, and I've seen the odd one or two outdoors. Like, I know what they're
pilot events for 500 people.
They're still pilot events,
But like 500 people,
And
there's 40,000 going into Croke Park this Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely
for the core. And look, and that's not to say there shouldn't be 40,000 people in Croke Park.
Yeah, but there needs to be.
I'm saying if this is safe, which I can't see why it isn't.
Well, to be honest, I was in
there.
Why
can't there be more? Yeah, you were in.
It was brilliant. It was unbelievable because, well, there was only 24,000 at the weekend. But
it looked a lot more than that.
It did, didn't it?
Yeah.
There was no one. So there's four of us together. No one in front of us. No one behind us. No one beside us.
Yeah.
So there's a kind of a ring of like four seats in front of you, around you. And the way it's all set out is it was the exact same for everybody.
Yeah.
It was class. It was so well done.
Because I was at the Leinster Dragons game at the end of May, I think it was.
At the RDS,
yeah. And that was the first
it was.
Sport event.
Yeah.
And it was very easy later. I still think there could be a bit more ambition there because...
Absolutely.
And we are starting to see that, in fairness, because there's 3,500 going into Tallaght Stadium tomorrow. Is it tomorrow or next week?
What's the capacity there?
7,000, I think. So... And they're just reducing the social distancing. Like, that's the kind of thing that's a test event where you're kind of looking at how we can ease the restrictions a little bit and see how we get on. That's a test event.
Well,
having people outdoors 2 meters apart, that's what we've been doing anyway. That's what we've been told to do for months. I just don't see what we've been learning from it.
Surely then, if it's a test event, hear me out. Okay, so 3,500 people going into a 7,000 seat stadium. That's 50% capacity. They're reduced social distancing. Shouldn't all those 3,500 people be made or, I don't know, keep in contact over the next 10 days with some sort of service to see how many people get infected at that event, just to see
I would imagine there is something there, because I know when I was going to the Leinster game, I don't know if it was the same with you with the GAA, I know when I was going to the Leinster game, I had to register both myself and one of my friends that I brought with me.
No.
I had to give my names to them.
And
it was the same with a lot of people that I know that were at the game, that they had to give their names to Leinster when they were getting their tickets, or or someone's name would be printed on the ticket.
No, I got four tickets of Ticketmaster, and I had my name on the four of them, and that was it. No one checked, walked straight through, got zapped. No one asked for details, okay, or anything like that.
Surely the GAA have some access to that, though. If there was
no idea,
yeah, because although sure, I suppose they wouldn't know who. They wouldn't know who you were with then if your name's just on all the tickets.
But this is the thing as well, where the amount of tickets that get put around as well in clubs, where tickets get passed around, and I could I could have gave my ticket to somebody else, and
yeah,
my name
that's
would
actually
be on
fair
it.
Enough.
So, but I suppose it's not the Leinster thing was probably an official test event.
Oh, like it was the very first one. I think definitely the first sports one anyway.
Yeah.
But I don't know if there was an event before, but there was definitely the first sport one.
Yeah. Oh no.
So maybe they were a bit more.
I remember tickets were put into our group. Andrew.
Oh yeah.
Love Island. You're a big fan of Love Island.
I enjoy Love Island when I enjoy the characters in it.
Who are you liking this year?
Chloe. Just give Chloe the money. Like, let her and Toby win and have Chloe steal the money. I think she's excellent.
I haven't watched it for the last week and a half. If I'm honest, I've kind of lost interest. But because we're talking about it a lot on the show with Tara on, I've been kind of feel like I know what's going on.
Yeah.
So I don't feel the need to wait up, because I feel like, is it petering out now? Because the finale's on Monday.
Not really. Like, they're still kind of killing each other a little bit. Like, like this is where they're supposed to be focusing on each other and their couples and who's going to love each other, who's going to become boyfriend and girlfriend, that kind of. But they're just killing each other at the minute. I don't find much appealing about any of them except for, I just think Chloe's just mad as a box of frogs, and I just think she's so entertaining.
When are the parents going in?
That's usually a day or two beforehand.
Oh, if I was Teddy's father, I don't know if I could look Faye in the eye. She has been so horrible to that boy.
Yeah. But I think as well, the thing with Faye, like, there's clearly something that happened to her before that
and look
I'm not trying to defend her here, I'm just trying to what she did to him a couple of weeks ago was absolutely horrific, and I'm kind of with you on that. I don't know how he's just been able to take, but I think he just likes her so much that he knows there's something that she hasn't been 100% honest with him with.
Oh, look, she got fucked over in the past.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But we don't know the details.
No, don't know the details.
You know, and he probably didn't know those details. Yeah. I'd say he just wants to give her a chance to open up fully to him so he can try and understand, and maybe that might lead to her not being so aggressive with him at the best of times.
I don't know.
But
I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I think if it was the odd time where you saw it, but it seemed it was her outbursts are constant throughout.
Yeah, but last
First
night...
First of all, the fake bit.
Yeah.
She went absolutely apeshit over that. Then she went apeshit, Toby, and she started getting involved in that. Absolutely lost the plot at Teddy multiple times for no reason. And I understand things happen in people's past that still affect them in the present day and going to the future. Absolutely. And I would never say that. But that doesn't give you the right to treat someone with such a lack of respect.
100%.
At all.
100%. And I would be of the opinion that I don't think she should have been in that show.
No, she shouldn't have been.
But
if they're going through all the tests beforehand.
But now the problem is, why are the producers doing... Now,
stirring the pot?
Yeah. Why are they constantly trying to trigger her?
No, it's true.
Like, it's either duty of care or it's not. Like, it's duty of care when it suits them.
Yeah.
You know? Like, if you look at that that challenge that caused a big row between...
What was that?
Faye and Teddy. The movies thing.
Okay,
the
so
mad
if you
movies.
Don't know, Casa Moore, Teddy was in another villa. She was in a different villa. He was said he was attracted to some girl, kissed a girl in a challenge, and they showed the girls what happened in the other villa. And yeah. She saw this happening.
Yeah, and then
even
you
though
compare,
even though she slept in the same bed with another guy, and recoupled.
Yeah, and I just think they went out of their way to kind of suggest that more happened than actually did, and it wasn't the first time they did this. Because they did it as well with the postcard. The postcard is what set Faye off in the first place.
Yep.
So that was obviously still at the back of her mind. And then they went and do this again after seeing what happened the first time.
Mm.
You know, it's just, there was something, that was really uncomfortable watching.
Yeah.
Just watching that meltdown as it was. And I don't like using the word meltdown, but that's what it was.
Oh, it was.
You know, and that was, it was really, really uncomfortable.
I'm just trying to think, okay, obviously there's a, you have to have a duty of care. But at what point does it become, like, it's a television show.
Okay? Yeah.
So they're the producers, their goals. They've got higher people up. They got board members. Mm. I'm just trying to think about us in here.
But
they've got
I just
board members looking for ratings. Then you know that people are going to be talking about equals more ratings. Like, is it, will it get to a stage where it has to come where, like, you actually can't do this type of television show?
I think it is on borrowed time, to be perfectly honest with you. Yeah. I think it really is, and I think a lot of people
at what point does become does ratings become the second issue? Where I still think I'm surprised this year, because I think I agree with everything what you're saying there. They have been triggering her and they've been triggering people, like the fact that they they've been triggering people. What point,
like, I've no issue with them showing something
with former contestants committing suicide.
Yeah.
Do you think they would have learned the lesson?
You know? But you see, and that's why I think so many of the games we would have seen before, or the challenges or whatever we've seen before, like the lie detector, we haven't seen since 2019 or 2018. Sorry.
Yeah.
And part of that, I think, is after the fallout of Jeremy Kyle.
Oh,
if you remember.
That's a good point.
And I think there was also something that there was a question asked in the 2018 series. I can't remember what it was, but the answer was technically a lie, but it was without context, which kind of made someone out. I can't remember who it was. Was it Jack Fowler? But it made somebody look worse than they actually were, because it just gave, it just basically said he was lying without any context to what was going on.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of rubbed a lot of people up the wrong way as well. But then the fallout of Jeremy Kyle happened when one of the contestants died by suicide after a lie detector test there, and that caused that to be cancelled. And I think the lie detectors were just taken out then. So you can see they are trying to do, to take some elements out that are clearly not fit for purpose.
Yeah.
But that, again,
where are the babies? Where are the babies coming
in? I was actually going to say
the babies, like, is a bit of crack.
It's actually great fun.
And that doesn't hurt. That just causes people not to have a lot of sleep.
I remember actually the last in 20, not the winter one. I think people forget, put the winter one out of their minds, but the 2019 one, and Tommy Fury is just holding the baby up by one leg and just throwing it up into the air.
Oh, and then Molly May
was talking to Maura behind him, and he's like, "Tommy, what are you doing?"
Remember they were doing
nothing. I'm just taking for a ride.
Remember they were doing races in the prams.
Oh, that was Dr. Alex's year, I think.
And the baby fell out of the pram.
Dr. Alex hopped himself as well.
Oh, he did. He tripped over. Yeah. Where does this season rate in comparison to 2018 and 2019?
It's definitely the worst of the three, I think. Because there was always people in 2018 and 2019 that I liked.
Yeah.
The only person I liked throughout from the moment they went in was Chloe.
Mm.
Just because I just think she's just mental. And she's hilarious.
I really didn't like her at the beginning. I thought, oh yeah, she actually reminded me, there was a little bit of what's the other one's name?
Lucinda.
There's a little bit of her, remember when she's always rubbing her hair and she's loving the attention and stuff like that, but she's calmed down a lot now.
Yeah.
She's kind of become more at ease and natural in there. Her proper personality's come out and she's brilliant.
She's brilliant. So like, she's the best character in there by a mile.
Yeah.
I think. And I think she's also mad enough that she would steal the money, and that's what I'm hoping happens. If she steals the money, that will save the season.
They'll never steal.
But I think if anyone is going to steal, it's going to be her. I don't think there will be anyone that will come close to her stealing the money, as far away as she probably is from stealing it.
Are they? I haven't seen in a week and a half. So are they still lovey-dovey with each other?
Her and Toby. Oh yeah, yeah.
Are they?
Yeah, yeah. And they are. In fairness, like they're probably like they're. It's between them and Liam and Millie to win it. Like,
I think it'll be Liam and Millie.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it will be. I think Millie's going to win it for them.
Yeah, if they do, Millie will win it for them.
Well, let's put our money on the table here now, because the next time the Little Big Podcast is on, the winner will be announced. I'm going Millie and Liam.
I'm going to. Do you know what? Just to be different, I'm going to go Chloe and Toby.
Chloe
and Milliam.
Milliam
and Chloe.
Andrew, I think we have covered a lot. We have.
We only went to come in here for 10 minutes.
10 minutes. We started getting very deep about the rights and wrongs of reality TV show in the 21st century, especially 2021. And Andrew, now you get back to your, what is it again? The entertainment industry. Mm-hmm. Catherine Martin meeting with them today. Andrew's going to make his thing. I'm going to stare at a computer screen, pretend I'm going to do a bit of work for a while. Thank you very much. And we'll chat to you next week with Nathan. Any emails that you want us to talk about? GrahamandNathan@gmail.com.
Cut my life into pieces. This is my last resort.